always have this fear that I'll get up and start with the next verse. All right. Well, if you take your Bibles and turn to me to Mark chapter 6, as we continue studying through the book of Mark, let me just say the passage that we went through last week in the middle of chapter 6 is basically parenthetically put there, but as far as chronologically, we left off with the disciples being sent out, and at the end of about verses 12, they went out and preached that people would repent, and they drove out many demons and anointed many sick people with oil and healed them. And then we have the story of John the Baptist and the Herod we went through last week. But now we're going to pick right back up with the disciples coming back to Jesus in the verse 30, is what we'll be reading today, verse 30 through 44. The apostles gathered together around Jesus and reported to him all they had done and taught. Then because so many people were coming and going that they did not even have a chance to eat, he said to them, "Come with me by yourselves to a quiet place to get some rest." So they went away by themselves in the boat to a solitary place. But many who saw them leaving recognized them and ran on foot from all the towns and got there ahead of them. And when Jesus landed, he saw a large crowd, and he had compassion on them, because they were like sheep without a shepherd. So he began teaching them many things. By this time it was late in the day, so his disciples came to him. "This is a remote place," they said, "and it's already very late. Send the people away so they can go to the surrounding countryside and villages and buy themselves something to eat." But he answered, "You give them something to eat." And they said to him, "That would take 8 months of a man's wages. Are we to go and spend that much on bread and give it to them to eat? How many loaves do you have?" he asked. "Go and see." And they went and found out, and they said, "Five loaves and two fish." And then Jesus directed them to have all the people sit down in groups on the green grass. And so they sat down in groups of hundreds and fifties. And taking the five loaves and the two fish and looking up to heaven, he gave thanks and he broke the loaves. And then he gave them to his disciples to set before the people. He also divided the two fish among them all. And they ate and were satisfied. And the disciples picked up 12 baskets of broken pieces of bread and fish. And the number of men who had eaten was 5,000. Father, I come to you today and I thank you again for the opportunity that you give us to gather together in your name. There are many places in the world where people are not allowed to do this. But you allow us to gather together. Yet sometimes you can't even get people to come. Lord, what a blessing it is to be able to gather with the body of Christ and to worship you, and to praise you, to hear your word, to study it together, Lord. We are blessed beyond measure to be able to do this, and we just thank you for that. Lord, I pray today specifically that you will speak to my heart. You'll speak to every person's heart that's here and every person who's listening online. That, Father, you will speak to their heart in an amazing way. That your Holy Spirit will bring your word to life. And that, Lord, it will make a significant impact on us today. And I pray in Jesus' name. Amen. If you have your outline in front of you, as we continue our study of Mark's Gospel today, we are confronted with a truly wonderful portion of Scripture. These verses tell us without a doubt that Jesus cares about us. I want to point out two groups of people for whom the Lord cares. Did you know that he cares about you today? He cares about those who are serving him, and he cares about those who do not yet know him. Folks, there's really only two kinds of people in this world, people who know Jesus and people who don't know him yet. But they deserve an opportunity. They deserve an opportunity to realize how much he cares for them. Now, I know there's a lot of people that you might think, well, they're cold and hardened and they don't want to hear about God. And, you know, if I try to, you know, maybe you've even tried to share Christ with them and they don't want to hear it and they push you away or whatever else. Well, let me just tell you something, folks. Don't give up. That's what Satan wants you to do. He wants you to give up. Those people don't want to hear about God. They don't want to be bothered. They don't do that anymore. And I can tell you this, folks, God doesn't give up. And he still loves them, no matter what they've done, no matter how bad they turn their back on God, God still love them.
Turn your mic on.
Oh, okay.
Good. My mic is now on. So that means I get to start all over, right? No. Oh, no. People need to know how much they're loved by God. People need to know how much He cares for them. And we see that today just in this one section of Scripture, how much Jesus loves the ones He sent out, His servants. He cares about His laboring servants. And in fact, every person who goes out in the name of Jesus, He cares about you and He cares about what you're doing. And He goes with you and He will speak through you if you will allow Him to. And the disciples had come back to Jesus after being out in multiple different places during those days and weeks that they had been doing this. And they came back and they were sharing with Jesus the things that had happened. Now, if you'll look back again one more time at that section beginning in verse 12, they went out and preached that the people should repent. And they drove out many demons and anointed many sick people with oil and healed them. Now, can you just kind of imagine what that was like for them, being out there by themselves without Jesus physically being present with them, and yet in faith they did exactly what God had told them to do? Now, I think if we were honest, we would love it if Jesus was right here physically with us and walking alongside of us, and then it wouldn't be a problem talking to somebody about my best friend. It wouldn't be talking, you know. But let me tell you something, folks. He is here right with us. You can't see Him with your physical eyes, although I can tell you, I see Jesus in a lot of people. I see Jesus through their countenance. I see Jesus through their actions. I see Jesus through their voices. Hear Him. It's not like He's invisible, because He's not. And so when the disciples came back and began to share with Jesus about what had gone on, they began to say, we went and we told people about Jesus and tell them they should repent of their sins and turn to You, and we drove out demons by the power of God. And it was amazing. The setting is right after verses 12 and 13. And they were excited about all that they had witnessed. I tell you what, folks. I think we need to be more excited about Jesus. You know, we get excited about football games. We get excited about things that we take a group of people out to Loudy Simpson and, man, everybody has a great time or whatever. You know, we get excited about a lot of things. We ought to be excited about Jesus. And I've said this before. I'm going to say it as long as God will allow me to. Man, we'll go to a football game, and man, when our team scores, we'll jump up and scream and holler and throw the babies in the air and everything. You know, it's just, people go crazy. But, you know, when people hear the truth about Jesus Christ, they sit there like, we ought to be excited. Can we be excited here? Amen. We ought to be excited. And we ought to be excited not just here, but every place that we go, because we have the King of Kings and Lord of Lords walking right along with us everywhere we go. Everywhere. We ought to be excited about it. The disciples were excited about it. Even though they were unlearned men, they had already learned the most important lesson is that they could always rely on Jesus. You know why the Pharisees continued to harass Jesus and try to catch Him and try to corner Him with certain words or whatever? You know why? Because they were walking without Jesus. They were walking in religion. They were walking in this righteousness of themselves, trying to make sure that everybody else around them knew how righteous they were. But when God looks at them, what He saw is people that were righteous, but not having a relationship with Him. The disciples were excited. I liken it to the fact of how it is I remember when my kids were growing up, something exciting would happen to them. And when they came into the room to tell me about it, they wouldn't come into the room going like, oh, Dad, I just want to tell you how exciting it was today. I mean, what they did, man, the door would fly open and they go, man, Dad, I got to tell you about something. And they were so excited. Where is that excitement, people? Are you excited that Jesus Christ has given you eternal life? Can we let our faces know that? Can we let our speech know that? Can we tell other people about it? I'm excited that I have a home that He's preparing for me right now. I'm excited that every single one of my sins that I've committed in my life and ever will are all under the blood of Jesus Christ. He's taken them away. He's paid for them in full. Tetelestai, He cried from the cross, which means paid in full. I'm excited about that. So, we pick up in verses 30 and 31 and 32. And after Jesus had asked them, or got them together, and they began to tell Him about all this stuff, then look at verse 31. It says, then because so many people were coming and going, they didn't even have a chance to eat. He said to them, come with me by yourselves. I'm going to go to a quiet place and get some rest. See, Jesus knows exactly what we need when we need it. I think a lot of times we get so busy in our lives. We're going and going and going. When we walk out the door, we see ourselves coming in. And it's just like we get so busy that we miss the purpose for why we're even doing anything. And Jesus said, listen, I want to take you away for just a little while. We need to get some rest. There are times when we just need to rest. Physically, we need to rest. Emotionally, we might need to rest. There are just times when we're strung out, we're worn out, we're, you know, everything seems to be, and when we get that way, everything seems to be even worse, right? And we snap at people we shouldn't snap at, and we say things we wish we'd never said, and we just come away, He says, and we're going to get some rest. You can't do your best without some rest. In fact, the Scripture tells us to be still and know that I am God. You know what? There's a huge purpose that I believe every one of us ought to be thinking about and taking into our lives every day. And that's just a quiet time with God, period. Not with anything else. Every single morning, I just try to have at least an hour where I could just be still before the Lord. Just listen to Him. I don't have to talk a lot. I don't have to pray a lot. I just read His Word. I listen to what He's saying. You know, if you'll listen, you'll hear Him speak. Now, it may not be an audible voice, but He speaks right through His Word to your heart. And there's multiple times that I've gone through passages of Scripture, and I can tell you, folks, I don't want to mention how old I am. No, I'm just kidding. Probably more than 55 years that I've known the Lord, He speaks to me every day. Now, with that, all of that compiled together, I ought to really know a lot about God. But you know what, folks? We're not gonna hear Him unless we set aside time to just be still and know that He's God, to listen to Him. He's speaking all the time. When we work, we should work hard and give it our all. But we can't be at our best when we're dog tired. You know that? What happens when you get really, really tired? people irritate you, right? Let's be honest. I mean, you're tired, you don't want to hear it, you just want people to leave you alone for a while or whatever, and that's the time when people don't leave you alone, and that's the time the phone won't stop ringing, and I have to silence my phone and put it in another room because it's never going to stop. I don't know about you, but I get texts and notifications constantly on my phone. And it's irritating sometimes, and sometimes I just want to take my phone and throw it through the wall. I really do. But then I think, I can't do that because then I can't communicate with who I need to communicate with. But we just need to be still. To be still. For me, that was really difficult as a young boy. It's still kind of difficult sometimes in my life. I'm busy. I have this to do, this to do, this to do. I have an agenda. And all these different things that I need to get done. And I get reminded by different people that I said I would do this and I haven't done it yet or whatever. And I'm going like, yeah, I know it's on my list. But the fact is sometimes I just need to hear God say, just be still. Just be still. It's in those quiet times that He speaks the loudest, even though it's a whisper. You remember when Elijah had won a great battle against all the priests of Baal and Asherah, and he had set faithfully the altar there. And all of the prophets of Asherah and Baal were calling out to their gods, and nothing ever happened. And Elijah called out upon God one time, and boom, the fire fell. And it burned up the altar and the sacrifice and the stones and the water that was in the... It burned up everything. And the people that were there were just amazed. And they began to cry out, "The Lord, He is God. The Lord, He is God." And Elijah was so excited about the fact that they were going to come back to God. But it wasn't very much longer than that. The Jezebel put a hit on him. And he found out that she wanted him dead. And so he went from feeling great about, everything to running as fast as he could away from there. And he finally ended up way south of there, multiple miles away, tired, worn out. And the Bible says he got underneath just a little branch to try to get out of the sun, and he fell asleep. And God blossomed that branch and gave him really good shade. And he had the ravens come and feed him. And God took care of him. And Elijah called out to God, why is this happening to me? I'm the only one that's standing up for you, God. And he said, no, you're not the only one. I've got tons of people that are standing up for me right now. Sometimes we just need to be still and listen to God. And so for just a little while, Jesus takes his disciples across the lake for some rest and replenishing, some R&R. Rest has always been a part of God's plan for us. In fact, he even put into place the Sabbath for this very reason. And what does he say about the Sabbath? To remember the Sabbath and keep it holy. It's not a day of work. It's not a day of doing the exact same thing that you've done every other day this week. It's a day for you to get some rest and to listen to me. Set that time apart. And I remember growing up, and most of you probably do as well, Sunday used to be a time when even all the stores were closed. And as I was a young boy in Texas, we had a blue law. It means the stores couldn't even be open on Sunday. And that meant all the workers in those stores actually got a day of rest. It's changed a lot, hasn't it? I think one reason is because everybody that went to church had to make sure that there had to be a restaurant they could go to afterwards, right? Just like our bodies need rest, so do our hearts and our minds. We've got a lot on our plate, don't we? Probably way more than we ought to have on our plate. In fact, we've probably piled a lot on our plate that didn't even ever need to be there. But he says, just come away. Let's get some rest. When we think of our great God, we often think of Him in terms of the grand, the great, and the glorious, which He is. After all, He's the God of creation. He stood in the middle of nothing and took nothing and created everything. He's the God of revelation. He sent His perfect word, the Bible, through human instruments, giving us a perfect, inspired record of His words to man. He has perfectly preserved the word to this very day. He then sent His Son as the sacrifice for our sins, that He could open the way for us to again have communion with Him in His presence. There is no question that we serve a God who specializes in the spectacular, who majors in the miraculous, and who operates in omnipotence. And yet even our great and mighty God cares about everyone. And He cared about His laboring servants, and He said, listen, I want you to just come with me. Just take some time. We need some R&R. We need some time of refreshing. We need some time to allow the things that we've been through to settle into our hearts and minds. Just come with me, and we'll rest. Jesus cared about His disciples. He cares about you. There are times that He just says to you, listen, everything else that's on your to-do list, put it aside today. It'll be there tomorrow, right? It's not going to go away. So just put it aside today and just spend time with me. Just spend time with me. Does He deserve that? For sure. Do we deserve that? Yes. We need it more than deserve it, that's for sure. He cares about His laboring servants. And He also cares about His lost sheep. And we see that because it wasn't long after they'd gotten to the other side that all these people start showing up. And think, when you think about the size of the Sea of Galilee, it's not huge, but it's a little trek from one side all the way around to the other, and they made that trek because they saw where they were headed in their boat. And they thought, man, let's try to get around there because we want to be as close to Jesus as we can. I wish it was like that today. I wish people wanted to be as close to Jesus as they can. He cares about these lost sheep. And we pick up in verse 33. And it says, but many who saw them leaving recognized them and ran on foot from all the towns and got there ahead of them. I mean, they didn't waste any time. They saw where He was headed, and they wanted to be there when He got there. And they were. And when Jesus landed and saw the large crowd, He had compassion on them because they were like sheep without a shepherd. So He began teaching them many things. The word says He had compassion on them. That word in Greek literally means to be moved to the core and have pity. It moved the heart of God to see so many people in need. Do you see people like that? Do you see people through the eyes of Jesus? Do I see people like that? Sometimes I see people like, that's the guy that bugs me the worst. Or I see people like, yeah, I've seen that person multiple times. They do the same thing all the time. They wear me out when I talk to them. Sometimes that's the way I see people. But how does God see them? He sees them with a heart for them and a love for them and a care for them. That says, I want you to be with me. I want you to be with me. Nobody should be pushed out. Nobody should be left alone. Nobody should feel like God doesn't care. And He's called us to be His hands and feet. He's called us to be His voice to a world that needs to hear it. To be moved to the core and have pity on those who cannot seem to find help. And that's what it means when Jesus saw these folks. It was worth so much to them that they ran all the way around the outskirts of the Sea of Galilee to the other side to be there when He got there. That's how hurting they were. It's an outward recognition of how the Lord feels towards all people. You see, when God looks at the people of this world right now, He doesn't just see billions of people running around like little ants on an anthill. He sees every single one of them as someone He created in the mother's womb, and He has a desire to know them and for them to know Him. And the people and His disciples could see this in Him. When Jesus saw these people, when he got close to them, it was like in His face, in His speech, and everything else, people could see this care in Him. They could see this love in Him. And folks, we should have that same kind of compassion. Say it again. People don't care how much you know until they know how much you care. The only way we're going to effectively reach and touch people for Christ is through showing love and care for them. It breaks down walls that you think could never be broken down. It opens up conversations which never could have been there before. People need to know how much they're loved. He had compassion on them, and the Scripture says the reason that He had this compassion on them is they were like sheep without a shepherd. Now, we have the advantage around here of knowing a little bit about sheep. And sheep are kind of, well, let me just say it, they're dumb. They are. And I think it's one reason that the Bible calls us the sheep. We're just kind of dumb sometimes. We go off and do our own thing. It's easy for us to get lost. It's easy for us to get caught up in a briar patch. It's easy for us to fall in water and almost drown. It's easy for us to do those kinds of things like sheep do. Because it's just not all that smart. And Jesus had compassion on them. Because He saw that they were probably all trying to figure out, are the things that the Jewish leaders have tried to tell us are really, really important, the way to get to God? Or is it something different? No wonder Jesus and the Pharisees didn't get along. They continued to try to trick Him and say, well, what do you think about this? And Jesus would always just speak the truth. And to their chagrin, they'd walk away going like, that didn't work. We're going to try to figure something else out. Jesus is the caring King. He loves people. He loves all people. He doesn't have a select few that He loves. He loves every single person. Will you hold your place here for just a moment and turn over to 2 John chapter 2. And I didn't put this on the overhead, but I want you to hear it today, because this is what God was speaking to my heart this morning as I was writing the devotional for tomorrow morning, so you'll get to read it tomorrow. But listen to this. And I'm going to get my glasses on here so I can read this. Oh, I'm sorry, it is 1 John chapter 2, that's what it is. 1 John chapter 2. Let me get to it. And for some reason, this 2 in here, I can never find it until I read it. All right, here we go. He says, "My dear children, I write this to you so that you will not sin. But if anybody does sin, we have one who speaks to the Father in our defense, Jesus Christ, the righteous one. Now stop there for just a moment and listen to what it says. It says, John, the beloved disciple who had heard all of these things, he was one of the guys who Jesus had just said, we need to go take a rest. But when all these people came, he had such compassion on them. He says, dear children, you see, do you hear the love in that? I write to you so you will not sin, but if anyone does sin, we have one who speaks to the Father in our defense, Jesus Christ, the righteous one. Now look at verse 2. He is the atoning sacrifice for our sins. And not only for our sins, but also for the sins of just those that are chosen. No, that's not what it says. For the sins of the whole world. Listen, folks. The garbage that's been pushed down a lot of people's throats is that God only chose certain people to show His love to. That's not true. It's not what God's Word says. God's Word says that He did this for the sins of the whole world. Now, I always like to look at the original language. And when you look at the Greek word there, it's the Greek word olon, which means all people. Doesn't mean for the selected few. It means for all people. Why? Because God doesn't have selective love. Think about it, folks. If God is love, which Scripture tells us He is, and that God so loved the world, which He does, He doesn't choose people that He decides He's going to love and then decide that He won't love other people. That's not the God I serve. That's not the God that showed me His love. And when Jesus looked out at that huge crowd that day, what He saw were people that needed to know that they were loved. Look at what the disciples said. It's interesting. They were kind of like we would probably be. At this time, it was late in the day. So the disciples came to Him. This is a remote place, they said, and it's already very late. Come on, Jesus. We've been going all day, and You told us we were going to come over here and get some rest. Just send them away. Tell them to go get some food somewhere or whatever. Send the people away so they can go to the surrounding countrysides and villages and buy themselves something to eat at McDonald's or whatever. Send them away. I just added that in there. It's not actually in the original Greek. But look at what He said. Jesus saw the crowds. The disciples were very concerned about it. Jesus saw the crowd's spiritual hunger. The disciples saw their physical hunger. And this should remind us that there's always a deeper need than we typically see. I tell you this, folks. If we're walking with the Lord and we allow Him to spiritually speak to us, we will see things that we would have never seen on our own. What the disciples saw were a bunch of people that they didn't know how to take care of and corral and whatever else, and they sure didn't know how to feed them all. That's what they saw. What Jesus saw were people that needed to be touched and He cared about. What do you see when you look at people? Do you see people that bug you? Do you see people that you think you'll never be able to talk to? Do you see people that rub you the wrong way or whatever? What do you see when you look at people? Jesus sees them as the prize. And so Jesus corrects His disciples. Look at this in verse 37. He answered, they're hungry? Give them something to eat. Now, that's pretty straightforward, isn't it? And I can just imagine what they would have thought, the same thing we would have thought. Wait a minute, Jesus. There's thousands of them. We're not able to do that. We can't do that. We don't have the money to buy it. We don't have the time to go get it. We can't do that. How are we supposed to feed all these people? But as Jesus said, you give them food. They quoted him the price. Lord, we don't have that kind of money. It would take months of our wages, which we don't even get right now because we're out here with you. It would take months of our wages to be able to pay for the food that it's going to take to feed all these people. They did not understand that He holds everything in His hands. What seems impossible with man is impossible with man is possible with God. And so he said, "What do you have for food?" And they went looking. Oh well, we've got just five little loaves. We call them loaves, but basically they were just pieces of flat bread. We've got five little pieces of flat bread and two sardines, two small fish that had been caught. That's what we've got right now. He said, "Well, feed them." Now, what do you think they were thinking? Same thing you think. You think, and I, how are we going to do that? How are we going to take just this little amount and feed all these people? They didn't understand that He holds everything in His hands. He looked up to heaven, took the food, held it up, looked up to heaven and said, "Lord, bless this." Now look what James chapter 1 verse 17 says. Every good and perfect gift is from above. He comes down from the Father of heavenly lights who does not change like shifting shadows. Jesus knew exactly what He should do. And He lifted up that little bit of food that would fit probably within His hands at this point and said, "Lord, bless this." And then He began to hand it out and hand it out and hand it out. And the disciples were confounded. Look at what verse 38 says and following. "How many loaves do you have? Go and see." And they found out they had five and two fish. And then Jesus directed them to have all the people sit down in groups on the green grass. So they sat down in groups of hundreds and fifties. Taking the five loaves and the two fish, He looked up to heaven, gave thanks, broke the loaves. Then He gave them to His disciples to set before the people, and He also divided the two fish among them all. And they all ate and were satisfied. And the disciples picked up 12 baskets full of broken pieces of bread and fish. And the number of the men who had eaten was 5,000. You see, this is called the feeding of the 5,000, but folks, it's really the feeding of probably between 15 and 20,000 people. Because they only counted the men. Now, I know that sounds pretty one-sided. But that was the culture back then. And they thought men had to be in charge. So they just counted the men. But when you think of it as really one of the most astounding miracles up to that time that Jesus had performed. Primarily because a few loaves of bread and a couple of fish can't feed nearly 20,000 people in normal conditions. But remember, Jesus is not normal. You can't feed 20,000 people with just this amount of, but God can. You see, when Jesus is involved, the natural becomes the supernatural. And you might think, that's pretty amazing that this could happen like that. But listen, folks, it's not just about taking food and making it last and feed 20,000 people. It's about taking what God has given you and what God has given me and sharing that with people around me. And what seems to be natural, God can make it supernatural. What the disciples thought was impossible is more than possible with Jesus. Matthew chapter 19, verse 26 says, Jesus looked at them and said, with man this would be impossible, but with God, say it with me, all things are possible. Now, y'all didn't say that with much conviction. Listen, we're going to try that again. We practiced on that first one. All right, here we go. With man it's impossible, but with God, all things are possible. Do you believe that? We might say that we believe it with our mouth, but what does our heart say? These disciples, I can just imagine them thinking, Jesus, you're the one that needs some rest. Do you see the crowd? Do you see how many people there are to feed? And this is all we have. This is it. Jesus said, Lord, let's feed these people. And he began to hand it out and hand it out and hand it out and hand it out. And every single person there got to eat. And afterwards, they picked up 12 baskets of food. What the disciples witnessed that day was cemented into their hearts and minds as they went to pick up the leftovers. And there were 12 baskets full, one for every disciple. I always kind of see things and wonder about them. How could each one of these disciples go through this and see this happen and not believe that Jesus is God? Well, obviously one of them didn't. He later turned him in. How could Judas pick up all this stuff and be in the process of seeing this happen, this miracle? It's a miracle of miracles. And then turn against the Savior. That just shows you how strong our own sinfulness can be. They picked up 12 baskets full. Is that a coincidence? No, there are no coincidences with our God. Jesus was showing them what he would tell those people on the side of the mountain later. Ask and it will be given to you. Seek and you will find. Knock and the door will be opened unto you. For with the faith that you have to ask, it will be done unto you. Folks, if we could take this and put it into practice, actual practice in our own lives, we would begin to see people come to know Jesus. What I mean by that is, let's put this into our perspective. What is it that we have that we need to be giving other people? It's not fish and bread, probably. What is it? It's the Word of God. It's the Gospel. It's what Jesus will command them to do later, to go into all the world and preach the Gospel. And telling people that they can have real life through Jesus Christ. That's what God is calling us to do. Not only is He calling us to do, He has empowered us by His Holy Spirit to do it. You might say, well, I just don't know how to do that kind of stuff. I get all kind of tongue-tied. You know what? I've heard so many excuses. You know what I want to say? Get over it. I mean, if God means that much to you, you'll tell somebody about Him. If He doesn't mean that much to you, you're going to be silent. That's the bottom line. Amen or oh me. That's the truth. And God puts people into our life for a purpose. And it's not just so we can get to know them and play cards with them on Thursday night or whatever. He puts them into our life because He wants us to be the salt and light in their life to show them how much they are loved by God. Are we going to love people like that? Are we going to share with them? Even though we're tired and we wish they'd leave us alone, are we going to give them what they need to hear? Are we going to tell them how much they mean to us and to God alone? What are we going to do? And everyone was silent. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, King of kings, Lord of lords, You hold all things in Your hands. And Lord, I know that no matter what, You will be there to provide for us if we will step out in faith. You always have. You always will. You're the same yesterday, today, and forever. And Father, I pray that even those disciples, when Jesus said, "You feed them," probably thought, we can't do that. But Jesus said, "Here you can." And He started handing them fish and bread and fish and bread and fish and bread. And probably over 20,000 people ate their fill. And there were 12 baskets full left over. Lord, where is our faith? Do we really truly trust You to open up a door with someone and let them know how much they're loved? To show them You care about them. Through the things that we say and through the things that we do, that they can see that somebody really does care. Somebody really does love them and looks beyond the outward appearance to the heart. Maybe you're here today. You feel like you're all alone and that nobody cares about you. And that's a terrible place to be. But I can tell you this. God loves you so much that He gave His one and only Son, that whoever would believe on Him would not perish but have everlasting life. He loves you. He gave it all. He paid it all. Jesus paid it all. All to Him I owe. Sin had left a crimson stain, but He washed it white as snow. The same Jesus that fed 5,000, 15,000, 20,000 with this little bitty lunch that a boy had can certainly do all things. He can forgive your sin because He paid for it on the cross. He can draw you into His family and call you His child. But if you already know Jesus Christ as your personal Lord and Savior, I dare say that even though we live in a supposedly Christian nation and we have all these freedoms to be able to speak the truth, most Christians are the quietest and not willing to speak up for the Lord. And it should not be that way. Father, help us to be excited about You. Help us to share Your love with people. Help us to look for opportunities to be able to tell people about You and Your great love and what You've done for us. Lord, I don't know exactly who You're speaking to today, but I pray You're speaking, Lord, straight to their hearts, straight to my heart, so that, Lord, we'll listen, we'll repent from the things that we are not doing and to some things that we are doing, and we will turn and follow you completely. And we will show people your love. We're going to have a time of invitation. I'll be here at the front. If you need prayer, if you'd like to give your life to the Lord and haven't done that, I'd love to help you do that. If you're looking for a church home to be a part of, we'd love to have you, but we're not trying to get a bunch of people on our church roll. We're just trying to touch people with the love of Christ and let them know that they're a part of the body so that we can work together to continue to tell other people about Jesus. But whatever it is that God might be speaking to your heart, I'll be here at the front if you'd like to come. Maybe you just want to come and kneel at this altar and pray as God reminds you that this world is not about you, it's about Him. Whatever it is that God's saying, would you do it? Let's stand. Brother Thomas can lead us in this song. Would you come?
Jesus is tenderly calling me home, calling today, calling today. Far from the sunshine of love is at home.
Let me just make a couple of quick announcements today. I know that, how many of you here can read? So I don't need to read all this out to you. Okay, good. But anyway, read through these because there's some really important things that you need to know about. Operation Christmas Child, we're a part of that every year. And this is a great opportunity to put together shoe boxes that we'll be sending out to all over the world and touching little kids in a lot of different places with the love of Christ, letting them know that somebody cares about them. Every year that we do this, my wife and I write little notes on the inside, and if we know where they're going, we try to get online and put it in their language and then put it in there just so it's easier for them to read when they get it. Yeah, it is a blessing to those boys and girls as they open up those boxes and let them know somebody cares about them. Lovey, executive director, for some reason needs to be filled because somebody is not unfilling it pretty soon. So if you're interested in that, let Ms. Pat know, or you can go online and send an email to the email address that's there. You can give it to Pat as well. So we're going to need to get that filled pretty soon. And y'all are leaving in January?
May.
May? Oh, good. May. Okay. Yes, a little bit longer. Okay. All right. And our men's prayer breakfast is always the first Saturday of the month, so that'll be coming up pretty soon. And then just encourage you to come a little bit earlier on Sunday and join our Bible study times. We're in the process of going through Hosea right now, and it's pretty cool. And just love to have you come and be part of that as well. And then there's another handout there for you ladies. There's a women's Bible study that's going on Fridays at 12:30. They're moving from Loudy to here, right? Is that that's, okay? Yeah. So they'll be here at the church at 12:30 on Fridays. All right. Anything else I need to mention? Janet, did I get everything? Okay.